Hi, my name is Zhi Xu. It's hard to pronounce anyway. So the second author is Shen Chen Zhu. That's my supervisor. Also very difficult to pronounce the name. So we are from Penn State, and this is our work about using the notification service on smartphone to send the phishing notification and the spam notification. Okay. So in this talk, first I will introduce the notification service on the existing and smartphone platforms like Android, iOS, BlackBerry, and Windows Phone 7.1, not 5. I think 5 is the fine, is the same. So then I will talk about how to do the what is the problem with the notification customization, and how we use it to send the phishing notification, and how to use it to send the anonymous spam notification, and show it works on different platforms. And I will give some suggestions about how to defend this kind of, to prevent this kind of attacks. So we know that notification service, maybe you're not aware of it, but it's very popular on the modern smartphone platforms. And despite its different names or the different names and the different implementations, there are usually three types of notification services on your smartphones. One, we call it a pop-up notification. Basically, it's a dialogue pop-up on your screen, like the Toast on Android. They call it a dialogue on BlackBerry OS. And on iOS, they call it Alert. And on Windows Phone, they call it Shell Toast. The second type is called status bar notification. That is on the top of your screen. So basically, you will see a little icon on the top, and then you touch on the top of the screen, then there will be a list of notifications, a list of notification views like this example on the Android. So on Android, they call it a status bar notification, and that's the name we're using. And on BlackBerry, they call it a message list. And on iOS, they call it a notification center. But basically, it's the same thing, maybe because they don't want to get sued, so they use different names. So the third one, they call it the icon notification. Basically, so like on BlackBerry and iOS, they allow the developer to change the icon of their apps so that the user will know there is a new email or something's happening. So they call it the icon, BlackBerry OS, and badge on the iOS, and tile on Windows Phone. So in this presentation, we are going to use the first two, because the third one, once you see the notification, you know the sender application who sent this notification. So we are going to use the first two, the pop-up notification and the status bar notification to launch the attack. So then we come to the notification customization. The notification customization basically enables the user, the application developer to customize the notification their application is going to send to the user. So basically, you can customize your notification if you are a developer of the apps. You can customize it from three aspects. First is the trigger event. That's in what context your notification will be displayed. Like on Android, okay, so I think we are going to use Android as an example because it's so typical. No offense to Google, okay? So the trigger events on Android, you can use intent, like when the screen is turned on or when the system is boot, the boot is complete, this kind of intent to trigger your notification. And the second is notification view. That is the view the user will see, like this spam message. You can use text if you want, or you can use an image, or even more complex subviews, contain buttons and complex objects. And the third one is allow the user operations. That is, when user see the notification, he will take some action, like tap the notification view. So what's next? So basically, the application developer can specify that. So when user tap it, you can lead the user to a browser to a spam URL in the default browser. We will show that demo. So basically, notification customization means the developer can specify, they can customize the notification from these three perspectives. So what our concern is that, first, if the users can, if you allow the developer, the platform allow the developer to customize the notifications, then the first concern is then the sender, it allows the sender applications to be anonymous. Like if you receive a notification with a Facebook icon, so does that mean this notification is really sent by the Facebook apps on your smartphone? You know, because there's no authentication information about this notification. So probably this notification is sent by the Facebook apps or maybe not. So if the user don't know that. The second concern is like, if all the three aspects are controlled by the application developer, that's what we call app controlled. So in that case, the sender application can fabricate a notification at will. They can create a notification exactly the same as a legitimate application like Facebook, say you have one new message, you need to check it out. So because the control, the allowed user operations is also controlled by the sender applications. So we will show that when you click on the notification view, so it will go to our place that is on the control of the sender application. So that will, that will allow these two concerns will may allow the allow and install the Trojan applications to use the notification to abuse the notification service to launch phishing attacks and spam attacks. Okay, so now I will explain these two attacks one by one on Android. So in the example of phishing attacks, our goal is to steal the user's credentials like a password and the password and the username of the Facebook apps installed on the smartphone. So basically the first step is the Trojan application. We suppose it's already installed on your smartphone. Maybe it's pretended like a game. So they will send a fake notification icon on the top. And when you tap on it, you will see your status bar notification pretending to be a Facebook notification. When you tap the notification view, it will lead you to our login UI that is controlled by the Trojan application. So after you, the interesting is like after you enter the password and your username, the Trojan applications can use our intent to start the legitimate Facebook apps. So the user will be directed to the legitimate Facebook apps. So this procedures. Is exactly the same if your password expired on your legitimate Facebook apps. So if you compare with the tech flow and some the workflow of the legitimate Facebook apps, so the only difference is there's one step asking you to enter the password and the username. And so it's very similar. So I think the many users will be tricked. So another attack is called, we call it a spam attack. In this attack, we make use of the fact that the sending notification is anonymous. So we can send whatever we send, like annoying messages to the user and avoid being traced by the user. So for example, we can use a post. The post on Android is a message that posts automatically and disappears automatically. So, and no user interaction is allowed. And even you use Logcat, you can see no trace about this post. So even you use connected with debug mode and connect your smartphone with your like Eclipse or DDMS, you can see no trace about who sent this post. So toast can include a text or even an image. So you can bother the user as frequently as you can, so basically. And the second type, we can also use the notification bar, the status bar notification to send spam message as well. We can also send text or send an image or more complex views. And when the user tap it, you can use the intent to start. You can first dismiss this notification view to prevent traceback. Then use the intent to start the browser and lead the user to a spam URL address. So what we observed in this proposal text is like the key to the success of proposal text, there are two keys. One is being anonymous to send notifications. So the user, even they found that they have been tricked, that they cannot trace back to the apps. And the second one is called we are being able to control the allowed user operations. So we can, in the phishing attack, we can lead the user to the phishing URI. In the spam notification attack, we can lead the user to a spam website in the browser. So we also tried this kind of attacks on Android 2.3, 4.0, BlackBerry OS, iOS 5, and jailbreak the iOS 5. We tried it, but we didn't list the result. And Windows Phone 7.1. So basically, it is possible, it is feasible to send anonymous notifications on Android, both 2.3 and 4.0. Basically, the notification service on both platforms are identical. So, and on BlackBerry OS, it is also feasible, but iOS 5, it is not okay. I will show the reason later. And jailbreak iOS is very cool. Yeah, you can send anonymous notification. You can send whatever you want. The Windows from 7.1, you cannot do that because they don't allow customization the same as iOS 5. And the second column shows whether it is feasible to navigate the user to a fraudulent view, like the phishing attack. In the phishing attack, so on Android, in both versions, it is successful. On BlackBerry OS, it is okay. And iOS 5, the legitimate version, it's unlocked version, is not okay. But the jailbreak is okay. Windows Phone 7.1, you can lead it to fraudulent view, but you cannot hide yourself. So unless you have an icon similar to the victim applications, you want to trigger the user to believe you are the legitimate apps. Otherwise, it is not feasible. I will show the reason in later slides. So this slide shows our phishing attacks on the BlackBerry. So on the leftmost one, we show three legitimate messages sent by legitimate Facebook apps, and the top one is the fake one. So when you tap on the fake notification, it will lead you to a fake UI controlled by the Trojan apps. So after you enter the, but unlike the Android, you can use the intent to start the legitimate apps. So the user will not feel anything strange. But here on BlackBerry, it is not feasible. So we open the browser, lead the user to a password incorrect web page instead. So it's not as good as I enjoy. So, and to send the spam notification is also feasible on BlackBerry because all the views can be, the notification views can be is customizable. You can use a picture or some even buttons. And more important is like the user operations on the other notification view, even you use a hardware keyboard are controlled by the sender application. So it will dismiss this annoying message immediately after you do any user operations. So in order to prevent the traceback to the sender application. Okay. So this shows why it is infeasible to attack on iOS, because iOS, they force you to put your icon of sender application and the name of a sender application on the top of your notification. So in this case, if we're trying to attack, we will expose ourselves. The same on Windows Phone. On Windows Phone, you can change the title. You can hide the name of your apps, but you cannot alter you cannot change the icon of your apps. So unless your icon is very similar as Facebook, you cannot pretend to be a Facebook app. But I'm not sure on Windows 8 if or not you can change the icon now. So, okay. So that's the attacks we tried on the four platforms, Android, BlackBerry, iOS, and the Windows Phone. So to prevent or defeat this kind of attacks, we think the most important is the notification authentication that is exactly missing on Android. So the directed, we're trying to, the first solution we propose is like, we're trying to balance between the notification customization and the notification authentication. We think notification or customization is the trend of the smartphone platform. You should allow the developer to create highly customized notifications to allow them to build fancy notifications. But on the other hand, you should guarantee that the notification authentication information are included in this view. So what we propose is like we call it the semi-OS control notification view. So on the right figure shows the basic idea. So we still allow the sender application to create whatever they want to create the notification view. But when they send the view to display to the notification service, we will add a wrapper view. On the wrapper view, it only includes the icon of the icon of the sender application and the name of the sender application, so that when the view is posted on the screen, the sender will user will notice who's the real sender application. So we implemented this modification on the by modifying the existing notification service on Android 4.0. And on the left side, these are examples on notification. If you send spam notifications with our modified Android version, so you can see that we force the to show the icon and name of the sender applications, which we hope this will help. And the second defense pro suggestion we think is like. Fundamental problem is like all the views actually on Android, they don't include any authentication information, probably because due to the limit of the mobile UI. So, and on the smartphone, when you see a view, you don't know which applications this view belongs to. So like if you see a Facebook login view, does that mean this view really belongs to the Facebook? So we suggest like a simple solution. It's like you put some authentication information on the view so that the user will know that this is an authentic view. And also we suggested to put some logging service about the notifications. So also in this project, we found several funny things. The first thing is to distribute the spam content after publishing your apps. We found several ways to do that. Like through the apps. So basically, now all the secure defenses are based on the apps, checking your apps verification. When you submit the apps to the App Store will verify your apps and then publish if it's clean. So to bypass this check, I think there are several ways. First thing is through app update. After you send the update several times, the App Store will trust you. They will not check your update again. So you can to send malicious content after tens of times of updates. And second way to do that is use a push notification. We think it's a very good channel. You can basically use the existing push notification to send whatever content you want to the apps and ask them to display or do things accordingly. And the third one is through the background services. So I think it's very convenient to send like spam content to the Trojan apps with the initial clean apps to the App Store. The second issue is about jailbreak iOS. I think iOS is very strict about notification, but jailbreak iOS is very free, and you can send whatever notification you want. The third thing is incentive about our proposed phishing and spam notification attacks. I think at the beginning of the smartphone era, the sending publishing our apps is quite expensive, especially on like Symbia, you need to sign. But now repackage our apps is so easy. So you can easily build and publish a new Trojan apps on forums or through social networks. So it's very easy and cheap. Even if the user found that your apps contain malicious behaviors like sending phishing or spam notifications, you can easily create a new one and republish it. So, and also we see that identifying the Trojan apps with notification attacks are quite difficult, even you connect your Android phone with DDMS. So, okay, so almost the end. So there are already several spam attacks on smartphones, but the most spam attacks on smartphones are SMS-based, send you spam short messages. And also we see that there's a company called AirPush. Basically, they explicitly say that they will push notification with advertisement on your screen. It's very, I think it has been sued, okay. And the phishing attack on smartphones, the existing phishing attacks on smartphones are basically are using, most are using the mobile web browser and using the email to the mobile client, because the UI is very limited on the mobile devices. So you cannot see the address, the whole address of the URL or the sender of your of the spam email. So it's make it more difficult to distinguish between legitimate email and legitimate URL and the spam, the phishing URL or phishing email. So also we see that there is some report about abusing the view transfer, basically on Android you transfer from view to view. But because there's a lack of view authentication, as I just mentioned, that is feasible to generate or fabricate a fake view that will trigger user to enter username and password. So to conclude my presentation, so we show that the notification customized notification authentication is very critical in our modern notification service. So if there's a lack of notification authentication, it is feasible to launch phishing and spam notification attacks. To prevent, we suggest that the notification authentication should be included in the existing notification services. In our future work, we are currently working on the view authentication of the view post on the mobile devices. Okay, so please, that's all the presentation. Thank you. If you have any questions.
Actually, I have a comment on Android, the 4.1 Jelly Bean. Mm-hmm. You start to have actually a new possibility with app notification when you have a long click on it that gives you app info. Mm-hmm. So it allows you to see the origin of an app and even to disable notifications. Mm-hmm. So do you find a way to avoid this, or you didn't look at the Jelly Bean?
Honestly, I haven't looked at the 4.1 because it has been published for how many days, right? So yeah, I'm very happy to see that. It's like what we found has been also being recognized by other people. I think what we are doing is correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
I wondered if you have done usability study of this attack, because there's a question, of course, of how really users are susceptible to this attack, if they will actually fall for it or not. And the related question is about the countermeasure that you've presented with the small picture. So I don't know if you've tested this. We actually have done some research with long-term usability study on such reverse authentication by figures, by images.
Can you repeat your question, first one?
Yeah. Both of them are related to the question of usability study of these attacks and of the defense.
Yes.
Okay, so I was asking if you've done or if you have any idea or plans to do usability study of this attack. And then essentially the same question about the defense, except that for the defense of these images, the presenter was also commenting that we have actually done this sort of usability study of images.
Okay, I see. Yeah, I think I'll answer your question. So, first thing is we haven't done any usability, I have to admit that. We tried that because we received some comments in the submission, and we tried that. We contact with the university, say whether we can find some people to do this kind of experiment and user study. And there's a bunch of forms we need to fill, and there's a bunch of restrictions about which kind of student you can choose. Especially you're telling them that you're using. You're doing some security-related experiment, so we didn't be able to find some volunteers that is volunteer to use our experiment phone. But I think, that's a very good question. That's what we lack of. I think one value of our work is very simple. And for the phishing, and especially the phishing attack, actually the attack like the Facebook or Facebook, to attack Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter, you only get one chance. Once you record the password and the username, then you can just stop it to prevent suspicion. So even now, even when I use the Android phone, when I see a notification now, I'm also worried about whether it is a real or fake notification now, especially the login. if I receive no notification that lead me to a login view, I will not enter anything.
But
I will go back.
That's really my question. I mean, I think the most challenging question is, would users actually fill in their password? Because I would never do this, right? But of course, this
but
is something
if I don't
to test in usability study. Would users actually do it?
I usually trick my colleagues in the labs, and they all entered the username and the password, actually. And that's how I prove my to show my professor that we should spend time on this project. Anyway, that's another story. So, but they don't trust me anymore yet now. So, I think they will do that, especially the normal user, especially the view is very identical. And I noticed that before this work, I noticed that Facebook, when I was using Facebook apps after our, like 1 week or, if you don't log in, I think at some version of Facebook apps, they will ask you to re-log in. Yeah. But now I think they set the timeout to be forever, so you don't need to re-log in anymore.
But notice the other part of my question, which was about the defense mechanism that you proposed about the image. So like I said, this is also something that needs to be studied because, like you said, one time that you get the password, that's it, right?
Yeah.
And actually, on our experiments, we've done it with these images as well, and we found that if you just use a simple image like you've presented, actually the success probability of the attack is still significant. I mean, it does improve significantly, but it is still significant attack probability, while you can actually improve very much the reduce probability of a successful attack by actually having what we call an interactive image. You put two or few pictures and the user has to select his picture among them, so you get much, much better rates of detection of the attack by this simple change.
That's a very useful comment. So I'd love to see you work.
We can talk. I can show you the paper later on.
Okay. That would be very helpful. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.